4, Vane Elaine, 7, Cherry Court, 8, 5 Pennies, and 11, Tempest Rock. 1, 4, 7, 8, and 11. To the second, take out 3, Street Prince, and 5, Ayo Wayo, 3 and 5 from race 2. Race 3, number 8, Always Flushed, and 9, Moira, 8 and 9 from race 3. To race 4, take out 4, Ladwell, 6, Flash in the Dark, and 7, Yammer Magic, 4, 6, and 7. Race 5, take out 5, Kravchenko, number 5 from the 5th. And race 6, take out 4, Your Witness, 5, Mr. Burns, 7, All Star, and 11, Concotta. 4, 5, 7, and 11 from race 6 at Canberra.
And a couple of quick selections today. Canberra race 1, number 3, Rin Viata. Will get us a punting bank for the day. Race 1, number 3, Rin Viata. And at Newcastle in race 7, number 6, Pepperbury for Peter and Paul Snowden. Race 7, number 6, Pepperbury.
Good on you, Raymond. Thank you for that, Tanya. We're time for the news here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After the news, our legend of the game is the legendary golfer, Peter Senior.
The Big Sports Breakfast News for Toyota materialhandling.com.au. Australia's first choice in forklifts.
On Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One, Channel 526, The Big Sports Breakfast News.
I'm Kim Cartwright. The federal government is expected to today announce a deal with the United States for a refugee swap. It's understood the agreement would see asylum seekers in offshore detention centres at Manus Island and Nauru resettled in North America. Opposition leader Bill Shorten says Labor is open to supporting the move, while the Greens have welcomed the idea but say they need more information. Greens leader Richard Di Natale told the ABC the US is a good country for refugees.
These are people who are traumatised. There will need to be a lot of healing done, and so of course we welcome them being settled into a community that's prepared to uphold the rule of law. But again, as I said, we need to see the details of this.
The New South Wales Nationals are in serious danger of losing the regional seat of Orange, with early by-election results suggesting a massive swing of more than 30% against the party. With almost half the votes counted last night, Nationals candidate Scott Barrett was on 29.5%, while the primary swing against the party stood at a devastating 36.1%. The Shooters, Fishers and Farmers candidate Philip Donato is close second on 25%, and the Minor Party looks likely to secure the central western seat based on Labor preferences. Mr. Donato told the ABC the forced council amalgamations have hurt the Baird government.
I think it sends a clear message to the Nationals that if you want to represent these people of New South Wales, you need to listen to the people of New South Wales. You can't make these decisions, these executive decisions, without any consultation or due process involving the community. Otherwise, the community will bite back.
Queensland police are investigating bikie links in the discovery of two bodies in a Gold Coast unit block yesterday, with the pair reported to be former bandito Bronson Ellery and his ex-girlfriend Chelsea Schilling. Ms. Schilling's mother, Bonnie Markwell Mobbs, has posted tributes to her daughter on Facebook, who would have turned 21 this month. Earlier in the week, she had pleaded with people to help find her daughter, who'd been missing since Wednesday. Forensic specialists were expected to remain at the scene for a number of days. Detective Senior Sergeant Matthew Ward said yesterday there was nothing to suggest the deaths were a murder-suicide. More wild weather is on the way for the east coast of Australia today after severe storms described as mini-tornadoes lashed Mildura in Victoria. Queensland's south-east coast and northern New South Wales will bear the brunt of it today, with rising temperatures into the mid-30s and severe storm activity predicted. A man has gone missing while swimming in the Shoalhaven River on the New South Wales south coast. The alarm was raised about 3 p.m. yesterday, with reports the 23-year-old had disappeared while swimming near a camping ground west of Nowra. Police say emergency services spent 5 hours searching the area but couldn't find the man. The effort will continue today. A pedestrian has been fatally struck by a car involved in a collision in Sydney's west. Police have been told the 25-year-old was on a pedestrian crossing in Auburn yesterday morning when two cars collided, causing one of them to slam into him. He was taken to Westmead Hospital but later passed away. Also in news, the Victorian government plans to spend more than $100 million over the next 5 years on housing to support those who are at risk or homeless. This is AIR News. After rolling Australia for just 85, South Africa were 5 for 171 at stumps on day one of the cricket test in Hobart. Australia's coach Darren Lehman was looking to take South Africa's come-from-behind victory in the first test in Perth as inspiration for his struggling side.
I thought the pleasing thing for us at the end of the day was to get the 5 wickets and hopefully do what they did to us in Perth and come back from, you know, a difficult position.
In basketball, the Illawarra Hawks have dug their way out of a 16-point second-quarter hole to mow down the Adelaide 36ers 85-74. The Hawks trailed 28-24 at quarter-time and 46-41 at half-time, with big Matt Hodgson providing a dominant force. Inserted into the starting lineup in the absence of Daniel Johnson, Hodgson was brilliant early and finished with 18 points and 14 rebounds. Also in basketball, Sydney Kings 87 beat Melbourne United 71, and the WNBL Perth Lynx beat Adelaide Lightning 75-63, Townsville Fire 71 prevailed over Bendigo Spirit 69, and Dandenong Rangers had a comfortable win over Canberra Capitals 82-63. Also in sport, Lewis Hamilton has pole position for the Brazilian Grand Prix. Nico Rosberg starts from second and Daniel Ricciardo from sixth. Melbourne Victory have cashed in on Western Sydney's defensive howlers, claiming a 3-0 win over their A-League rivals. Australian Independent Radio News.
This spring racing carnival, it's easy to help support the CUB 55. The 55 CUB workers terminated without notice and then offer their jobs back for 65% less pay. Simply join the Spring Replacing Carnival and replace any CUB made beers with anything else. And celebrate the GGs without the CUBs. It'll not only send a message of support to the workers, it'll send a blunt message to CUB management and hopefully increase their odds of offering their jobs back. Visit the Boycott CUB page on Facebook for full details of which beers to avoid.
Authorised by Alan Hicks, ETU Australia.
For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man, Jimmy? The man from Mazda.
Man from Mazda.
That's him.
The man from Mazda.
You got the cue perfectly
man,
there.
Man from Mazda.
Penrith Mazda Centre is family owned and operated with the best selection, the best prices on all new Mazdas, including Jimmy Smith's favourite, the BT50. The BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque and more comfort. So come and see the BT50 specialists at the Mazda Ute Centre Penrith with over 40 BT50s on display at Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD 18808.
Mum, you know the Bingley Clearance Centre at Fairfield?
Yes.
Where we've got Fisher & Paykel washers, Samsung TVs, Westinghouse and LG fridges?
Yes.
Well, it's full.
Wow, let's clear it out.
Great idea. With massive savings on carton damage stock and factory seconds. And they're still under manufacturer's warranty. And they're ready for immediate pickup or delivery.
Well, that's great news for customers.
The Bingley Clearance Centre Clear Out. Come and check it out.
Great idea, Lionel.
Thanks, Mum. Everything must go. The Bingley Clearance Centre, 71 Ware Street, Fairfield.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
At Coles, Peter's branded ice cream is half price. Peter's original 4-litre tubs, half price of $4.75. And drumstick 4-packs, half price at $3.99. Hurry, end Sunday, only at Coles. In Penrith, look out for some building debris on the Great Western Highway at Parker Street. The M4 busy both ways through Auburn at the moment, but keeping up with the pace for the most part, building steadily over the Ryde Bridge into Top Ryde. But we're clear over both harbour crossings onto the Eastern Distributor. Bondi Junction, Oxford Street's closed between Bondi Road and Hollywood Avenue until 2 a.m., well, they get rid of a tower crane. The National Disability Insurance Scheme is now giving people with disability choice and control over the support they receive. Take charge of your future at ndis.nsw.gov.au. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The man shave helped my dad lose weight and feel better. Now dad takes me to the park and we play footy.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny here at Stonecutters Ridge. Sunny in Sydney today. Winds north to northwesterly 15 to 25 kilometres an hour. Turning westerly 35 to 45 kilometres an hour in the late morning and early afternoon. Then decreasing to 20 to 30 kilometres an hour in the evening. A 0% chance of rain, which is good because we've got golf here at Stonecutters Ridge Golf Club. The final round of the New South Wales Open.
Cloudless skies, Jimmy Smith.
We've also got some cricket today too. That I'm playing out at Canberra.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm looking forward to that as well.
So you won't be watching Hobart?
No, I won't be watching. Becoming windy, sunny, maximum of 28 degrees. What about at Willara, Raymond? And we better tell the folks, the good people of Wellington, what their weather's going to be like today.
Willara, a bit cooler, 25 degrees. Up at Wellington, your good friends at Wellington, Jim.
Yeah.
They'll all say good morning to you.
Yes.
cloudy, 23 degrees.
And then came Flying Artie, the capitalist, the Magic Millions winners, drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second, but capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length to Yankee Rose.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Today, live from Stonecutters Ridge Golf Course for the New South Wales Open Championship. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda.
Adam Blythe is the leader. He's at four-shot leader at 22-under. Can you believe it? Peter Wilson, the Victorian, is at 18-under. Rain Gibson at 17-under. Ryan Haller at 16-under. Then we have a four-way tie for fifth, led by the amateur Connor Syme from Scotland, no less. They are the way they line
and
up.
And Brett Coletta's there as well, Jim.
Yeah, that's minus the way 15, they line the other up amateur. For the final round of the New South Wales Open out here at Stonecutters Ridge Golf Course. We are live. There's plenty of action around, isn't there? They've got players already teed off and into their final round. We've got the good guys from the Coffee Guy right here
and
as well.
Egg and Bacon Rolls are firing up over there,
egg
James
Egg and Bacon
Smith.
Rolls just about getting ready. I see Bernard from the New South Wales Golf is lining up there, funnily enough, first in line. Bernard, so well done on that, getting yourself a bacon and egg roll before everyone else. We do appreciate that. First hour, or the final hour, coming up. Peter Senior will be our legend of the game very shortly. Legendary Australian golfer. He's just really winding it down now. He's halfway through the year. He said no more to seniors golf, but he was playing this week, unfortunately didn't make the cut, but we're still very excited to have a chat to him. We'll get some updates from Nick Quinn at tab.com.au. Michael Carayannis, who's written an article today suggesting that Mal and Wayne are back on again.
They're friends again, Jim Smith.
So that's good news, and well, maybe it's not good news in the lead-up. Maybe it's another smother from Wayne to lure Mal into a false sense of security for this game. It's on tonight, our time. We'll have a chat to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. And, of course, taking your calls on 13 53 53. But our legend of the game is a 57-year-old who, as I mentioned, is starting to wind things down from his golf career point of view. You understand he's had wins on the European Tour, on the Japanese Tour. He's had on the PGA Tour of Australasia 23 wins. It's just been an incredible career where he's been the Order of Merit winner on four separate occasions. Mm. On the Australasian Tour. It's our great pleasure to welcome to the program Peter Senior. G'day, Pete.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good morning,
really
Pete.
Well. Thanks very much for being a part of the program. We do appreciate it, mate. I want to take you back, and we don't have to go far back to the most recent success of last year, Pete, that final round of the Australian Masters being played at Huntingdale. You're 56 years of age. You're under fire from some of the young guys coming left, right and centre. You hold your nerve coming out of the bunker on the final hole and get up and down in two shots. What about the sense of achievement when you did win that, Pete? I know you'd won it before, but to do it at that age, it must have been very satisfying.
Well, any time you win a tournament, especially when you're over 50 now, the opportunity doesn't come along too often. So, you know, I really think the Australian Open a few years ago was probably the highlight of my whole career, winning that at 53. But, you know, it becomes a little less continuous with the golf. And, you know, now I'm winding down. That will probably be my last tournament win.
Right. Well, never say never, though, Pete, because that surprised a lot of people last year. Pete, can I take you back to the start when it all began for you? The 1979 South Australian Open was... Was golf always going to be Peter Senior's calling, and what did that win mean to you at such a young age?
I finished school at 16, and I worked at night time, and I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to play golf every day. I got it, and that's why I got the job at night time, so I could do that. I turned pro at 19, and I think it was about my fourth or fifth tournament that I played in.
Yep.
South Australian Open, nobody had really heard of me, and you know, eventually won it, and it's a good kickstart to winning your first year on a tour anywhere. It just gives you that belief that you can do it, and I think that's what's missing with the younger guys these days. They just need that opportunity. to just reinforce exactly what they need to do.
Where'd the love of the game come from, Pete? Was it a family thing? Did you grow up near a golf course? How did golf become such a big part of your life?
Well, my father was in the military, and he was sent to Singapore for 10 years. And on the army base there, we had a 9-hole golf course. And my older brother, Jeff, he was 4 years older than me, started playing golf. I was still doing swimming and soccer at that stage. Anyway, the year before we left Singapore, he ended up winning the Singapore Amateur. And the next year, when we got back into Australia, won the Australian Schoolboys Championship.
Yeah,
and
right.
I just thought to myself, God, if he could do it, anybody could do it. So I sort of grabbed a couple of these clubs, started to play, and just got hooked as soon as I started to play the game. And, yeah, it's a funny feeling. When you get hooked in this game, you just want to play it every minute.
Yeah, no, I understand. Peter, your breakout year, if I can call it that, to you was 1989. You won the New South Wales PGA, but that set you up then for the double, the Australian PGA and the Australian Open. You also won the Johnny Walker Classic that season. 89, that was a, should I say it, Peter, a golden era of Australian golf, where Greg Norman was at the height of his career golf was rating for the roof on TV. And to win the two big ones in one summer, sensational summer for you.
It was just one of those periods of the game. I've been playing now professionally for nearly 40 years. And I can honestly say that six-week period, because the week off in between the Australian Open and the Johnny Walker Classic, I went to Japan and played the Dunlop Phoenix, which is their biggest tournament, and lost to Jumbo Ozaki on the last hole. So I went win, win, second win. And it was just 6 weeks of my career where I thought I could never hit a bad shot, and I've never, ever had that feeling again.
It's just a strange thing.
Yeah,
Peter, sportsmen talk about being in the zone.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean by that during that period? You're just in the zone, things just happened?
You know, you play your best golf when you don't think of anything. And, you know, I just had 6 weeks where, you know, I just never thought about anything. I just got up and I hit it and was never thinking about trouble. Or, you know, I've never had that sensation again for the rest of the career.
Yeah, you had long time, obviously, on the European tour and the Japanese tour that we've mentioned, and of course, always coming back here to Australia and playing. You did have a little bit of time on the PGA tour, and from what I understand, struggled a little bit, Pete. What did you find as, obviously, it's highly competitive. What was your thoughts on the PGA tour and the difficulties associated with that?
I went to the tour school in 85 and finished fifth, so I had a pretty good card. But in those days, you know, there weren't many foreigners on the US tour, and anybody who came from another country in those days was looked on, you know, very badly. Taking the job away from the Americans. The actual golfers weren't the problem. My wife was treated very badly by the wives of other players, and we decided in the end to go back to Europe.
Yeah,
but that was the main reason that I left the US.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Was Europe different to that? Were they more accommodating in Europe?
Yeah, well, it was a multicultural tour. You had all the European countries, you had all the British countries, and it was just a more friendly atmosphere. But, you know, my wife didn't even want to come out to the golf course, and it got so bad that that was the main reason we decided to go there.
No, I understand now. Peter, because you haven't played all that many attempts at the US Masters and the US Open over the years, is that a regret for you looking back now?
I think to play all those events, to play the three majors in the US, you have to be on the US Tour.
Mm-hmm.
I got my opportunity to play one Masters, and that was after I won those tournaments in 1989. I played a few PGAs, which I was exempt for because of the world rankings.
Yeah.
And probably one or two US Opens. So I never really got an opportunity to play a lot of majors. The British Open I played nearly every year that I was over there.
Yep.
So that was the main major that I played.
Mm. We mentioned all those wins you've had. You mentioned the Australian Open of 2012. Here's the other stat about Peter Senior. He's won the Triple Crown here at the three big events, the PGA, the Masters and the Open. All over the age of 50. He's won them multiple times previously, but is there one tournament? Is there a round? Is there a time that stands out more than others when you that do stick in the mind because of the way you played or what it meant to you, Pete?
Well, I think the Aussie Open, the weather we had on the Sunday was horrendous. We had a 40-mile-an-hour wind. And we had some really good players. I was still a few behind going into the last day. But with that sort of weather around the course like the lakes, is you know, if you can shoot even par, then you're going to have a chance. And I shot two under the back nine. But the biggest thing was I had my son on the bag. And it was one of the first times that he caddied for me. And to have him on the bag, that was probably the whole light of the whole situation. It was just how happy to see that he was after we'd won.
Yeah, no, I understand. Hey, Peter, can I take you back to the 1993 British Open at Royal St George's? You finished fourth. It was your best result in a major, and you shot 67 in the final round. But a certain man by the name of Greg Norman shot 64, which some say is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, closing round in major golf history. That was the closest you came to a major, but what was it like playing in that era when Greg Norman was basically the dominant golfer in the world, along with Nick Faldo?
Well, Greg was number one for nearly 7 years, and he was probably one of the best ball strikers that I'd ever seen. And every time that he came back to Australia, I had the privilege of being paired with him, and it was just great to see how he went about his game. That period that he had from probably 1986 to about 94, he was winning eight times every year, and, you know, it was just unbelievable to watch how good he was. You know, he lost a lot of tournaments coming down the stretch, and the main reason for that was that he was the only golfer in the world who put himself in that position that often. And as we all know, if you win two or three times a year, it's been a huge year for you. He was winning eight times and then losing half a dozen others. And, you know, there was a couple that got away, but I think it was because golf's that uncertainty. You're not going to win every tournament, but he was the only player who put himself in that position the most.
We're here on the Sunday, and we see the final round, and we'll see the highlights tonight, and they'll have the winner's check and the final part and all that. But what about the less glamorous part of being on the tour, Pete? The constant travel, the injuries, the time away from home. Does that start to take a toll? Clearly not too much, because you continue to do it for so long throughout your career.
Well, I've pretty much been uninjured my whole career. The last 2 years I've had just non-stop things. I've had shoulders, I've had elbows. This week I had a hip problem, which, you know, I haven't played a tournament since the end of June. And I came down here thinking that my game was in pretty good shape. I strained my hip on the Monday afternoon when I was hitting balls. I couldn't play on Tuesday. I had to pull out of the Pro-Am on Wednesday. And it's just got to a point now where halfway through the year over in America, we actually got tired of the travel, not the golf, just being away from home, 39 years on the road, and it just hit me all of a sudden, because I thought I'd play forever. I travel with my wife, and we just felt it was, you know, we've had enough of being away. We'd love to go home and do what we want to do.
Yeah. How's the injury now, Peter? Will you be right for the Australian Open?
I had a bit of trouble keying the ball up the first couple of days, so I only missed the cut by one. You know, and the course out at Stonecutters is fairly short, and there's a lot of birdie opportunities. So if you're playing half decent, you should be able to shoot a good score. So, but I'm really looking forward to playing the Australian Open this week. The boys in the physio, Kim and Matt, have been looking after me so much that you know, I'm nearly back to normal, if you could call me normal.
Well, what are you going to do with that spare time, Pete? I know you like dropping a line in. You're up there on the Gold Coast at Hope Island, I think. The other thing that was mentioned, we spoke to Rod Pampling earlier this week after his great win, and your name came up, and there was a suggestion that you've still got your first dollar, Pete. I suppose you sit around and just count the money, do you?
Well, I reckon I did my hip sitting on my wallet. So, I've done pretty well, and I've invested really well, and I'm really just, my wife and I have got and some plans for doing some actual travel where we can actually see some places next year.
Yeah, right.
Instead of just a hotel room in the airport. So we're going to have a really good time. We're going to enjoy it while we can, while we're still pretty mobile.
Yeah, why not? And, Peter, what about the future of Australian golf? How do you see it?
We've got a lot of good young guys, a lot of good top amateurs that are just about to turn pro. Jason Day, I'm a bit worried about how many injuries he's had the last couple of seasons. Mm. You know, we've always had two or three really good players, but I think we've got a really good crop of good young guys that are going to hit the ground rolling in probably 1 or 2 years' time. I know a couple of them are going to turn pro next year, but I think Australia's in pretty good shape.
Yeah. You mentioned Greg Norman, the fact that he was world number one for 7 years and was such a charismatic figure across the sporting world. Who else have you played with or seen that, whether it was ball striking, just scoring, who's the one that you thought, wow, guy's a superstar golfer?
Yeah, well, I had the opportunity when Tiger came out here the first time. I played with Peter McGuinney and mm-hmm. Tiger in the first two rounds of the Australian Open.
Yeah.
At the Australian, and he shot 79 the first day, and I can remember Peter, you know, there was a big hype about him, and I remember Peter McGuinney and I sitting in the marking. He'd walked out, and he'd shot 79 the first day, and Peter McGuinney says, geez, I don't think this guy can't play. He said, you know, what's all the hype about this guy? Anyway, the next day we came out, it was really windy. He shot 70, and he hit some of the most unbelievable iron shots. And Peter McGuinney changed his mind. I said, what do you think now, Macca? And he said, God, Jesus, guy's got to be good. So I had the opportunity. Steve Williams and I were very good mates. Anywhere that Tiger and I played, he'd organise a practice round. So I had the opportunity to play with him quite a bit. But he was the best player in that first 10-year stretch that I've ever seen and will probably never see again.
Yeah, right.
Peter, can he get back to anything like that level again, Tiger?
Well, I was really hoping so. You know, the first time he came back, and he won five times that year. And I thought, well, you know, if he can get back on track, then all of a sudden. But I don't think he'll ever get back. I've heard on the grapevine that he's got the yips with his chipping, and that's why he pulled out of the first tournament that he was due to come back a couple of weeks ago. So we may never see him again.
Tiger Woods can only dream of having the longevity of Peter Senior. Pete, it's been great taking a walk down memory lane with you. We do appreciate your time, and make sure you get a bit of fishing in today and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks there so much, Peter.
Peter Senior, our legend of the game there.
What a record he's had.
Oh, brilliant.
As you said, 5 decades he's won tournaments.
He's won tournaments in five decades. His son, Mitchell, was 16. He wanted to leave school, and he said, right, what are you going to do, get a job or caddy for me? He said, I'll caddy for you, Dad. And he's been doing it for the last 7 years. So good story in and of itself. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After that break, we'll have a chat with Michael Carayannis live from the UK.
Your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, loves presenting the very best in racing. And this spring has produced so many magical moments. I can't stop them. I can't stop them.
This is a blitz. It's a week's blitz. Two in a row, and she joins the all-time greats of the turf.
To be able to produce a ride that this mare's worthy of today gives me so much pride.
What a spring carnival. And you heard it here on Sky Sports Radio.
You know when you pull up to the edge of a steep hill and gaze down at the slope below, there's a sharp intake of breath followed by a plummeting in your stomach as you realise you're not nearly equipped to tackle such a dizzying drop. If only you were driving a Volkswagen Amarok with advanced hill descent control, you just know you'll make it to the bottom. No worries. And with the Amarok Core 4x4 from only $39,990 drive away, you just know it's a great deal. Conditions at vwoffers.com.au.
Love fast breaks and big blocks? That unmistakable squeak of rubber on a hardwood court? Adore dunks and three-pointers? Or maybe the rush of an unexpected play? We're with you. Yep, you love the NBA and so do we. That's why this season we've made it even easier to love a bet on the NBA. With exciting offers going all the way through to the last buzzer. Tab account and rewards bets only. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Mile in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea. The best of Asian racing. Live and exclusive to Sky Racing. On Sky Sports Radio, Penrith Master brings you the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. Live at Stonecutters Ridge for the New South Wales Open.
Yeah, Michael Carayannis coming up very shortly. In the meantime, let's have a look at what's happening from the world of sport from a punting point of view. We do that with Nick Quinn from tab.com.au. G'day, Quinny.
Good morning, James. Good morning, Ray.
Yeah. How are you, Nick?
Just to let you know, mate, we've just got our bacon and egg rolls here today, so if you could just rattle through the prices while
just,
we finish our meal.
Just keep talking, Nick.
That'd be fantastic.
Just have a feed. James, always happy to keep you quiet, so I'll be more than happy to do that. And the first test between Australia and South Africa was ugly, and the second test, well, it's even worse. South Africa, they were $4.50 when we woke up yesterday morning. They tied into $4 by the time the toss happened. They were then $3.75 after winning the toss. They're now all the rage at $1.37 to win the second test. The draw, it's now a $4 chance. Obviously, Brain's going to have to play a vital part if it's going to happen. And an Australian victory, that's now an $11 chance. There's still plenty of bet types, including the Aussie high bat in the second innings, where Dave Warner is a $3.75 favourite from Steve Smith at $4, Usman Khawaja at $5.
Nick, what price was Australia at the start of the test?
Well, initially, a $2.10 favourite when the market was first posted, but drifted out to $4.50 by the time the game started. Mm. So, unfortunately, hopefully not too many punters are on at that price.
Mm. Hey, Nick, Sydney FC are off to an absolute flyer this season. They're 5 games, 5 wins. Can they go 6-0 today?
They're looking as good as your hair at the moment, Sydney FC, aren't they? And they've tied in to beat Perth Glory this afternoon at the Sydney Football Stadium. $1.70 into $1.67. They are the last leg of plenty of A-League faulties. The draw, it's a $3.75 chance with Perth Glory at $5. Looking longer term, Sydney FC, their favourites to win the grand final now at $4. Melbourne City on the second line of betting at $4.50. And we've got Perth Glory $5.50. Melbourne Victory 7-6 after that win last night. Then double figures, or better the rest.
Happy to jump in now, finish the bacon and egg roll.
Was it good?
It's Tom. Yeah, fantastic.
He's eyeing off
absolutely
mine, actually.
Yeah, it's only half eaten there. You be careful, Ray. New England versus Seattle. That's Tom Brady versus Russell Wilson. How do you see it?
It's going to be an absolute cracker. This is the afternoon game tomorrow in the NFL for us Aussie fans. New England, they're $1.25. Seattle, they're a $4 outside of the line for this one, at 7.5. Many predict this could be a Super Bowl preview. New England, they're all the rage at $2.75 in Super Bowl betting. Seattle, they're a $9 chance. Dallas Cowboys, they're a $7 chance. They're the slightest of outsiders tomorrow as well. Dallas, and all of a sudden, there's lots of momentum building around the Cowboys as well. But love the NFL football, and that does look one of the highlights of the season tomorrow when New England come up against Seattle.
Hey, Quinny. What about Alvarez versus McGregor? Remember, UFC 205, of course, is on today. And as Conor McGregor says, we're not here to take part. We're here to take over.
Who are we tipping there? Who are you going to have a bet on there, Jimmy? Who are you tipping?
McGregor.
McGregor's the charismatic one, but Alvarez's record and Alvarez's
is unbelievable.
Ability to wrestle more than McGregor is going to be key, I think.
Well, McGregor's $1.68. Alvarez, $2.20.
Gee, short McGregor.
Oh, there you go. All right, Quinny, actually, for a young bloke trying to make his way in this world, you haven't done too badly this morning.
I'll make sure I get you another bacon and egg rock roll for that little phrase there. And hopefully you've got the guns out like you did on Friday for the punting club as well. There was lots of ladies just lurking around the band just trying to get a little look at that, Ray boy.
No truth in that whatsoever. Good on you, Quinny. Nick Quinn there from tab.com.au with all the latest markets, and we do appreciate that. Time now, though, for this. Oh, that's a cue to play Tanya's introduction.
This update is for Builder Steel Direct. Now team with local lintel manufacturer Galintel to supply Aussie-made Galintels, T-bars, render bars, structural steel beams and more.
God love you, Kev. Adam Blythe tops the leaderboard here at the New South Wales Golf Open at Stonecutters Ridge, heading into the final day after a 66 yesterday, which included seven birdies. The 35-year-old is at 22 under and is leading by four shots. Victorian Peter Wilson next at 18 under. Rain Gibson is a further shot back. And Robert Allenby is in a tie for 16th at minus 12. The final group of Blythe, Wilson and Gibson tee off at 11:15. Australian cricket is in crisis, batting crisis that is, and according to coach Darren Lehman, he's admitted that after yesterday's all out for 85 in the first innings in the second test in Hobart, things have to change. South Africa resumed this morning at 5 for 171, leading the Aussies by 86. The Wallabies Grand Slam is still alive after hanging on for a heart-stopping 23-22 win over Scotland in the test match at Murrayfield. The Wallabies grabbed the lead in the 76th minute for the first time in the match. The Scots scored three tries to the Wallabies' two. Bernard Foley's boot with 5 from 5 being the difference. Meantime, the All Blacks bounced back from last weekend's shock loss to Ireland with a 68-10 thrashing of Italy. England beat South Africa 37-21 at Twickenham. The win maintains the team's 100% record under coach Eddie Jones. Also, Wales 25 beat Argentina 20, France 52, Samoa 8 and Ireland 52, Canada 21. Ordinary defence from Western Sydney led to a 3-0 defeat in the A-League match against Melbourne Victory at Etihad Stadium last night, the loss placing the Wanderers just outside the top six. While another big game for Wellington's Roy Krishna inspiring the Phoenix to a 2-0 win over the Central Coast, coach Ernie Merrick refusing to get carried away with their first back-to-back win in over a year and has challenged his team to make it three. While today, top of the table, Sydney play Perth. Sydney continues to be the team to beat in this season's NBL with another win last night. Coach Andrew Gaze returned to his former digs in Melbourne to take on Melbourne United. The Kings were in front for most of the match, but only just, but then piled on 24 points in the final quarter to win 87-81. Kevin Lynch top scoring with 30, followed by Jason KD on 26, the backcourt duo helping the Kings to their seventh win of the season. Meantime, Illawarra came from behind to beat Adelaide by 16 points. Lewis Hamilton has pole for the Brazilian F1 Grand Prix with Mercedes teammate and title rival Nico Rosberg joining him on the front row. Daniel Ricciardo will start from sixth, and Cam Smith and Sam Thaiday's inclusion into the Kangaroos squad for tonight's Four Nations League test against England at the London Olympic Stadium is a huge boost. The Poms desperate to end a decade-long wait for a win over the Aussies. Boys, the Anna Mears Velodrome opened yesterday, 12 months ahead of schedule. And Anna was there to be the first person to ride around.
Right.
There were a bunch of school kids there cheering her on. The track inside is blue, which is her favourite colour.
Right.
So, yeah, the organisers perhaps trying to entice her to keep going to the Commonwealth Games because she'd be a massive draw card there, but obviously she's retired this year.
Where is that velodrome?
Gold Coast.
On the Gold Coast.
On the Gold Coast. It's for the Commonwealth Games.
She's not from the Gold Coast, though, is she? She's from
Adelaide. Adelaide, isn't she?
I thought she was Queensland or something.
Well, Queensland.
She's another one of these Queensland.
Not from the Gold Coast, but Queensland.
Queensland.
Yeah. Mackay, I think, isn't she?
Yeah, she's
from
Central Queensland.
Mm. But amazing, yeah, she captained the Australian Olympic team. She carried the Australian flag. She won the bronze medal, making her the first Australian to win individual medals in four consecutive games. And she's also the only female cyclist to have won Olympic medals in all four of the women's sprint events. So a very emotional moment for her and very well deserved. Must be exciting to see your name out the front of a stadium.
Ah, it's awesome, isn't it? Yeah, Blackwater, which is near Rockhampton.
Yeah,
she's another Rockhampton Rocket. There you go. Thanks for that, Tan.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see announcements of all those things being built in the course leading up to the 2018 Commonwealth Games. You forget about that, isn't it? The Commonwealth Games in the Gold Coast, 2018. Maybe we should take the show on the road, Roman.
I'll leave that to you and senior management to discuss, James Smith.
Well, actually, I don't know whether we're back for 2017 yet, let alone 2018. Anyway, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. Another nomination came in for a senior player, or more experienced player, in the wake of Peter Senior at age 57, being our special guest today in Legend of the Game. Where is it? Enjoy your show every week. Brad Thorne, for an old guy playing a very tough game. That's Tim from Green Valley. Good nomination. He played this year.
It was a Queensland country.
Queensland country, yeah. Aged 41.
Unbelievable.
What a career. What an unbelievable career
tough,
that
hard man
had.
That bloke Jimmy
Smith. The Broncos, the All Blacks, the Crusaders, Queensland, Australia.
Mm.
You name it, he won with them.
Mm.
Just incredible. 1353 53, the open line number. A break and back with Michael Carayannis.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wideline Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au. Your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, loves presenting the very best in racing. And this spring has produced so many magical moments.
Can't stop them. I can't stop them.
Preferment's revving up late, but the further they go, the further Hartnell's pulling away. Oh, isn't this easy money? And McDonough with a big cheeky look over the shoulder eased him down, won it by seven.
What a spring carnival. And you heard it here on Sky Sports Radio.
This spring racing carnival, it's easy to help support the CUB 55. The 55 CUB workers terminated without notice and then offer their jobs back for 65% less pay. Simply join the spring replacing carnival and replace any CUB made beers with anything else. And celebrate the GGs without the CUBs. It'll not only send a message of support to the workers, it'll send a blunt message to CUB management and hopefully increase their odds of offering their jobs back. Visit the Boycott CUB page on Facebook for full details of which beers to avoid.
Authorised by Alan Hicks, ETU Australia.
Big thanks to the coffee guys providing our coffee this morning. How was the coffee this morning for you, Roman?
Beautiful, Jim.
Very good, yeah. I had a cup of tea from the coffee guy. No, that doesn't quite make sense, but I did. And they are happy to provide it. Hot chocolate there, if you're that way inclined.
Yeah, hot chocolate.
I don't mind a hot chocolate every now and then, but the coffee guys, they do a great job, and they're providing for everyone here at the outside broadcast here at Stonecutters Ridge for the New South Wales Open. If you come down, grab a coffee from the coffee guys, and remember, with the coffee guy, you can own a mobile coffee franchise for under $50,000. I'm just looking at the mobile franchise owner here, and look how relaxed he is. Look how calm he is. What a demeanor that he's got.
He's trying not to notice.
He's trying not to listen to you. Hurry up with those coffees. It's your opportunity to be part of a thriving coffee industry without the hassles of rents, landlords, or staff.
They're laughing now, Jim.
Work your own hours. Enjoy a great work-life balance. The Coffee Guy allows you to achieve that lifestyle change that you've long wanted. Jump online now at thecoffeeguy.net.au. That's thecoffeeguy.net.au. Terms and conditions apply.
Sony Music gives you the hottest stars on the planet with Tim McGraw's new Ultimate Collection. Carrie Underwood's Australian Deluxe Tour Edition of Storyteller. Kenny Chesney's new album, Cosmic Hallelujah, featuring Pink. Leanne Ryan's Remnants, and introducing Ward Thomas. All albums available now. These are the hottest stars on the planet.
If you buy a new refrigerator at Bingley right now, we've got a surprise for you. We'll deliver your new fridge free, we'll unbox it and unpack it free, we'll take away the packaging for free, and my mum will take away your old fridge free. So there's no messy trip to the tip for you.
I heard that, Lionel.
Okay, our delivery guys will, but it's only for a limited time, so be quick. Free full service delivery from Bingley.
Excludes bar fridges and Miele. See in store or bingley.com.au for full details.
This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray, live at Stonecutters Ridge Golf Course for the New South Wales Open Championship. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda.
You might know I'm the original sin. You might.
And here's Jimmy Max, another bite of the remnants of my ham and egg and bacon roll.
Hang on a minute. I said I could have it.
I said you could have it, yeah.
I didn't eat the bread.
You said the
white bread. That can be a little bit dangerous for the waistline,
too much?
Can't it?
Mm.
No, but I had the egg. I had the egg out of there and I had the bacon. Very nice.
Well, making this poor man feel hungry. Now, he's live all the way from England on the eve of the Kangaroos taking on England in the Four Nations at 1 a.m. tomorrow morning, our time. Michael Carayannis is on the line. Michael, good morning. And reports in this morning's press, the simmering feud between Mal Meninga and Wayne Bennett, they've sorted out their differences, Michael. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Yeah, it was kind of strange. Obviously, it's been the talk of the tournament, Mal up against Wayne, and Mal's been very, very critical of Wayne, claiming that he's undermined him. You know, he wanted his position. He doesn't respect him. And the two happened to meet by chance at a leaders' summit on on Tuesday in the UK, and they had it out. they finally cleared the air, and they're back on, boys. The feud's over.
Well, we know Wayne, yeah, well, I'm just thinking, is this another one of Wayne's way of promoting the game without actually promoting the game? Well, you interviewed him. Surely Mal Meninga was legitimate when he came forward with those claims. What was it, a couple of weeks ago, about how there was no relationship between the pair, despite the fact they've got a long history together?
Yeah, it's weird, Jimmy, isn't it? I'm not sure where it all sits. I can't imagine the two are particularly close if Mal's going to come out and say what he did say. But I also interviewed Wayne during the week, and Wayne said that there was a friendship and he does respect him. So... Well, unless Mal's just playing the game and he's wanting to build that an Origin rivalry, I guess, and you know, he's made it more interesting for all of us, so it's been good.
Yeah.
And Michael, has Wayne Bennett's way of not promoting the game actually done the exact opposite and helped put some focus on the Four Nations tournament over there in England?
Ooh. He says he thinks he's promoting the game just by coaching England. That's what Wayne's saying. So, and in a sense, that's true. But his press conferences, I must say, the turnout to his press conferences have been huge over in the UK. Like, it compared to what we'd get for a press conference in Sydney. So they really gravitated towards
Wayne. So it works.
Wayne, and, yeah,
it works. Michael.
They just don't know how to read him yet. I don't think any of us have worked it all out. But it's been particularly interesting for the English press, their first taste of Wayne.
Well, no matter what you say, and you know, no matter what he does, and congratulations, Michael, on getting that interview with Wayne Bennett, but he's compelling. Mm. Like, you can't help but listen to him. You might not agree with all of the stuff or some of the stuff that he says, but he remains a compelling figure in the game. Michael, did you get a sense of that when you interviewed him?
Oh, yeah, of course, Jimmy. You just hang on every word that he was saying. You know, the interview went for 15 minutes. It felt like 5 minutes. It just went so quickly. And I guess part of his charm is that he doesn't speak often and he doesn't let his guard down often. So when he does, and he did in that interview, we all take note and we listen, and he doesn't waste his words. And that's why everything he says is so interesting. And he's been great for his appointment has been really good for England in terms of building the profile and some mystique, I guess, to the English side. Mm.
And how's this all building up for tomorrow morning, Michael? 1 a.m. our time, Australia take on England at the Olympic Stadium in London, and Australia already through, guaranteed a spot in the Four Nations final. England need to beat the Kangaroos. They haven't done so in their last 10 matches and not since 2006. Can they do it tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I think they can. I think I've mentioned to you guys about that. Obviously, the shock result where Scotland drew with New Zealand only means now that England has to beat Australia. It doesn't matter by how many points. As long as they win, they're through to the final. And England have been building. They've been building slowly. They're a team on the up. And they've got plenty to play for. And with their big forward pack, provided they can get enough creativity out of their halves, they'll trouble Australia. But it's going to be the question of if they can find enough points to overcome the Kangaroos. And I'm just not sure if they've got enough in them at the moment.
I think you're spot on. That's the issue. There's no doubt about, you know, the players outside of the spine, no problems. The players in the spine and not so much the hooker, obviously, but the other players in the halves, I don't think they can create. What about the Australian side? Good news with Sam Thaiday cleared to play, and of course Cooper Cronk back partnering Jonathan Thurston. So there's some big positives for the Aussies.
Yeah, remarkable turnaround for Sam Thaiday. 3 days ago, the guy could barely walk. He couldn't move, and he surprised all the medical staff by completing the bulk of the training session 2 days ago, and then yesterday, your time, he completed the captain's run. So that was this morning here, and he got through 100%, so he'll definitely play. And the other inclusion is Tyson Frizzell ahead of Shannon Boyd on the bench, and Josh Dugan at right centre in front of Justin O'Neill. And on the Frizzell selection, Mal likes that he can play in the edge and in the middle, and that's the reason behind his selection over Shannon Boyd.
Yeah, they're valuable, those players who can do both. If this was a National Rugby League game, they'd be saying, hang on a minute, and we're going to assume that Australia wins, hang on a minute, New Zealand get a 9-day turnaround leading into the final, and the Kangaroos only get 7 days. I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere, Michael.
Good point, Jimmy. I might stink that up next week.
But, you know, seriously, if there was an NRL coach that it was happening to, you'd never hear the end of it.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. It hasn't been on the radar at all. No one's mentioned it here. So I guess you can say New Zealand had the shorter turnaround last week after the doubleheader, and Australia got an extra day to recover from that game, I guess. So it balances out.
Mm. Yeah. How's the touring been, Michael? You've been enjoying it? Is this your first extended tour with a team like the Kangaroos tour that you're on?
No, I've done a couple now. I did the World Cup in 2013 and the Four Nations the year after, so I've done a couple now. But it's been interesting because they've stuck us in parts of unknown. We're in London at the moment, which is much more appealing from some of the destinations we've been at the moment. But the players have been amazing, I must say. The players and the access. Mm. Media-wise, has been first rate, and they're a really good group of guys, this playing group, and you know, they've represented Australia well on and off the field.
Hey, Michael, just following that result for Scotland, and also their efforts against England earlier in the tournament, what does that mean for Scottish rugby league, and indeed for international rugby league?
Yeah, it's been well, we've been having this conversation the last couple of weeks, guys, that Scotland has actually been impressive, and they showed against Australia, they more than competed against Australia. They could have beaten England, and they should have beaten New Zealand. So it's great to have. Obviously, we've got the big three countries, and the gap is closing. You know, on the top teams, and Samoa's another one that's a genuine threat to the top nations. Yep. And we see Fiji emerging as a really good side, and you know, Italy and Lebanon, once they get their NRL players, are good teams as well. So it's really developed. It's really emerging. And, it'll be great. The day one of those teams knock off one of the big four, one of the big three, it's going to be a great occasion.
Well, you're really emerging as well. This performance that you've done for us over the last couple of weeks have been duly noted, and I know there's some nervous scribes on the northern beaches of Sydney, given your performances, Michael. We appreciate them, and we'll look forward to doing it again next week.
Thank you, fellas. Enjoy your bacon and egg roll, Jimmy.
Good on you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, we did. And a big shout out to Dean Bulldog Richie over there at French's Forest.
No, of course not.
No, be in bed. $1.20 Australia and England $4.60 at tab.com.au. The line is 12.5, and I like the Aussies at the minus 12.5. I think they can do that. That's currently
just not
paying
enough points in England, is there?
$1.95. I don't think so. I don't think so. 13:53:53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Scotty Foster, and we'll be giving us a chance to say goodbye.
Your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, loves presenting the very best in racing. And this spring has produced so many magical moments.
I can't stop them. I can't stop them.
Abdullah pulled the whip. She's 4 or 5 in front, though. And Les Quiddy Spirit has pinched the Oaks by 4 lengths.
I said, well, she's going to stop. And I heard Greg Miles yell out, but Les Quiddy Spirit's still 5 in front. And the emotion just started running through me.
What a spring carnival. And you heard it here on Sky Sports Radio.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
I lost the beer gut.
My husband lost his beer gut.
Our dad lost his beer gut.
Thanks to the Manshake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
If you buy a new refrigerator at Bingley right now, we'll deliver it, unpack it, and take away the packaging free. And Mum will take away your old fridge free, so there's no messy trip to the tip for you.
I heard that line.
Okay, our delivery guys will. And for a limited time, the new LG 450-litre platinum bottom mount fridge is just $1,199. Free full service delivery and a great fridge deal at Bingley.
Excludes bar fridges and Miele. See in store or bingley.com.au for full details.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wideline Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Right.
Right now at Snooze, get up to 50% off selected Sealy mattresses during the Snooze Big Brand Sale. Hurry, ends this weekend. It's amazing what a little snooze can do. In North Ryde, traffic recovering on Epping Road after a crash at Delhi Road. The two city-bound lanes have reopened, though. In Orchard Hills, a breakdown on the M4 outbound just before the Northern Road. And in Minchinbury, we've got some reports of debris on the M4 approaching Archibald Road. In the city, Macquarie Street is closed between Hyde Park and Marsden Place. That'll be for about 45 minutes whilst a march gets underway. Last day to book 5 nights at SeaWorld Resort from $999 with entry to SeaWorld, Warner Brothers Movie World and Wet n Wild Gold Coast. Ends today. Search Groupon for details. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
At USG Boral, we're the building materials manufacturer that offers more. And our legacy of supporting a job well done spans more than a century. It's why we created the first plasterboard. And it's why we developed the lightest 10mm and 13mm plasterboard produced in Australia while upping its sag resistance. Was it easy? No. But neither is carrying heavy boards up three flights of stairs. See how we're supporting builders with products like our lightweight sheetrock plasterboard at usgboral.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of love for UFC. Love for big guns and big hits. For underdogs and heavyweights. Love for... Oh, ouch! Tap in before they tap out with our great UFC offers this November. Download the Tab app. Head to tab.com.au or visit your local today. Tab. We love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Racing HQ. Tab Talk. It's all on Sky Sports Radio.
Isn't it funny when you think you stuffed up and you didn't stuff up, but you tell people about the time you thought you stuffed up, but you didn't stuff up. Out here at Stonecutters Ridge Golf Club for the fourth round of the New South Wales Open, we just saw the great Peter Chook Fowler go past.
Yes.
What a legend he is. I met him at the Legends
and still cocktail playing
party.
On the senior tour.
Yeah, still plays. Done very well on the seniors tour. Lovely bloke, lovely bloke. So he's in action again today. I tell you, I reckon this guy's a UFC fan. Scotty Foster.
McGregor fan?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Let's find out. Hello, Scotty.
Hello, boys. How are we?
Yeah, morning, well, Scotty. Are you into UFC?
Mate, I stay in touch with it. I don't book it or anything to watch it. No, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah. So you won't be watching today?
No. Mate, that worked well.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
No problem. Let's just jump into the vehicles then. The 2008... Subaru Tribeca. This is the premium all-wheel drive wagon.
It certainly is. This is the 2008 premium all-wheel drive wagon. It's packed full of luxury fittings. It's got leather interior, heated seats, a sunroof and a roof-mounted DVD player, satellite navigation, dual-zone climate control, air conditioning, ABS brakes with brake assist, 6 airbags, cruise control, traction control, 18-inch alloy wheels and heated side mirrors. It's in remarkable condition inside and out. It's got logbooks with impeccable service history. It's another super buy. It's $14,990 drive away. So go to the website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, because this is a very nice car. And, Jimmy, I have to say sorry, but we did sell that Audi last week as well.
Oh, Jimmy,
did you get out there and have a look at it?
No, I didn't. But I tell you what, I made some polite inquiries. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a seven-seater.
Oh, okay.
A seven-seater. So
he's still on a lookout, though.
I dropped off, Scotty. Don't worry.
He's on a lookout. Hey, Scotty, if anyone needs finance packages, you can help them out there, too.
We certainly can. We can arrange finance for this car or any of our cars. We've got great packages available at the moment. We're helping a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now is the time to call. If you're on a pension, if you've got paid or unpaid defaults, you're new to Australia or on a student visa, we can help. If you're on a sickness benefit or you're starting a new business and need a work vehicle, we can help you. So go to our website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, or call now on 963 750 24.
And remember, the team can source the car that you want. So if the Audi is not the seven-seater, you can get the seven-seater. There's no doubt about that. Check them out, fosterscualitycars.com.au, or give them a call, 963 750 24. You enjoy that family day today, Scotty.
Thanks, boys. It is a great day, so we might head down to the beach.
Good on you, Scotty.
If you're not going to the beach, you're coming to Stonecutters Ridge Golf Course. Let's go to a final caller. James wants to have the final say. G'day, James.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Just quickly, I watched that Scotland-New Zealand Curlies game yesterday, and given the windy and wet conditions, it was a fantastic display of football from both teams. So the quality was amazing. So good on Scotland. And the Kiwis were good in, even though it was a draw, the Kiwis reflected on how well the Scottish played. So, there is definite positive growth there. I think there's great potential. And
they've built every game, haven't they, James? They've built every game from the start of this tournament.
Yes, they have. It's fantastic for the game of rugby league. I mean, it doesn't get much of a head start internationally, and I think it's looking at, there's potential there for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Quick, James, we've got to fly, mate. Yeah, thanks very much for your call.
We've
got to go, mate. Kev, thanks very much. We do appreciate it because we've got to say thank you very much to our host today, Ray.
Yep. And out here at New South Wales Open at Stonecutters Ridge, Adam Blythe tees off at 11:15. Jimmy's 22 under, leads Peter Wilson by 4, and Ryan Gibson at 17 under. They're the last three to hit off at 11:15. Adam Blythe got that 4-shot lead. He'd be hard to peg back.
Yeah, and the only difference to that is that it was his girlfriend that was caddying for him the first two rounds, and then it was down.